You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Jeremiah 15 and verse 19, and I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation, because New Living Translation has the wording that I want to use for the purpose of continuing this series. And it reads, "This is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you." God is, if you allow me to say, recalling Jeremiah to his purpose. He had gotten off, and he's so consumed. And it was a warning that God gave him when he called him. He said, "I'm a child. I don't know what to speak." He said, just speak my words. I'm going to tell you what to say. And in another place, he says, "Don't be moved by their faces. Okay, just say what I tell you to say. You're going to be able to tear down and to plant and to build up. Just use my word to do it." But Jeremiah was so concerned about what people thought about him. Can I tell you this? I say this often to pastors who I mentor and talk to, that you got to be delivered from people if you're ever going to do the will of God. Because if you're not delivered from people, you're moved by everybody's opinion, and y'all know opinions are like noses. Everyone has one. And if you don't know what God tells you to do, you're trying to do this to please this group, and then this group don't like it, and then you try to please it to please this one, and then they don't like it, and before you know it, you're a spiritual schizophrenic. You're hearing all these voices except the voice of God. You're doing everything other than what God tells you to do. And Jeremiah had gotten off. And so God tells him, he said, you're too concerned about what other people are saying and doing and the pressure from people. He said, "I want you to speak my word and remember your calling. Remember your purpose. You must influence them and not let them influence you." And I believe the church today is to be reminded of that. I'm telling y'all, if you were, you know, because I'm a researcher and you're looking at, and I'm always looking at things to improve our church and improve my staff. I just sent some staff members this week to another seminar but the more that you listen to people, you realize everyone is going based upon saying how the church needs to change for the culture. I'm telling you, that's the move of the church today. Everything, people say, well, people don't want to be in church for longer than an hour. So now we just try to make church an hour because nobody wants to give God that much time. I don't see the NFL saying, we need to just, because people don't want to be sitting up in this stadium for no. Pastor Marshall and I was at a concert a couple weeks ago, and I was like, they better perform at least an hour. Come on now, I know you ain't gonna come here and give me no half hour. I done paid for these tickets. Somebody ought to be, all these tithes I'm paying, you ain't gonna give me no hour service. That's how your mind ought to be. Yeah, all these tithes I'm paying, and you got to rush me in and out of here in an hour. I can't dance. I can't run. I can't get my praise on because we got to get out of here in an hour. We don't hear folks thinking like that. So everything's about, and then, millennials. Millennials. Almost becoming a dead song. Well, millennials don't want this, and millennials don't want that, and millennials don't want this. So we got to change everything to satisfy the millennials. And some of you millennials, y'all, there's some stuff y'all need to change. Bishop Jakes did a He has something called Pisgah and Gideon. Gideon is a 2-day mentoring thing that he does with those 40 and under. And then he does something called Pisgah. We don't need to talk about that. But Pisgah, that's up there where Moses died. Anyway, he does something called Pisgah for those 40 and older. And last year he had brought them together and he called it Guts and Gadgets. He said, because you millennials, y'all got the gadgets. But some of us older folks, we got the guts. Okay? Some of y'all, if it ain't an app for it, you can't do it. We had to figure stuff out without an app. I was thinking the other day, I said, I ain't trying to minimize anybody, but I'm really thinking about the goodness of God. I said, I ain't that impressed with no church today that grow to 1,000 people, 2,000 people in 2 years because you got good social media. Come on now. Social media make you look like anything. They even tell you how to do it now. They say churches, when you're on television, on social media, don't show crowd shots. Just show black on the screen so nobody know how many people there. Okay? Everything's about image. Okay? And so, but I heard someone else say this. A noted man of God. He said, I thank God for all the millennials, all the energy and all that and all the ideas they got. He said, but when I need to get a prayer through, I need some older folks who know how to call on Jesus, who still pray on their knees, who still fast. And what I'm saying is that we need each other, but we can't constantly be changing because the generations are changing. There are some things in the word that watch it. It's different. Maybe different methods, but it's the same message. And my biggest problem is that we're starting to change the message. Really, I read somewhere, somebody said, don't sing songs about the blood because people don't understand the blood. Well, if you don't understand it, none of us understood the blood until you had some teaching about the blood. I can't let you stay in your ignorance because you don't understand. My job as a man of God and as a pastor is to give you the word of God so with all you're getting, you can get some understanding. And so I have this real concern, and it's going to get to the point that the church is just going to end up looking like a big place where you just come and it's just like any other concert. We have great concerts and great lights and smoke and all the other stuff we do now, and nice video and no power. I mean, I saw something the other day and young folks, y'all don't even know. But I heard, I saw something the other day, a little video, and Beyonce was singing at her concert. Hi, ya, 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 ya. Hi, ya, 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 ya. Hi. Y'all don't even know nothing about that. That was the Clark Sisters back in the 80s. And she said, and Twinkie Clark said, she used to always hear the mothers of the child yell at, church yell out, hi-ya! Hi-ya! And then looked it up and found that Haya was a Hebrew tongue that means life. Now Beyonce is singing it. My point is this: is that see if we can just end up just performing without knowing history, performing and having no power. God wants His church to be a church of power. Constantly hearing, and again, constantly hearing people ain't coming to church anymore. People ain't come. Well, what are we going to do to change that? The Lord told me, everybody's watching on streaming. What come on, y'all know there's some stuff that took place here on Thursday and Friday and even yesterday that don't transfer into streaming. And so the Lord told me our challenge is to make sure that we are still influencing the world rather than the world influencing us, and make sure that we are still a church of power. Hallelujah. That our children get exposed to the power of God. Not just performance, not just methods, but the power of God. And the Lord's been dealing with me so much about the script. Paul said, he said, when I came to you, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, around the first and second chapter. He said, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. But I came to you in demonstration of the power and of the Spirit, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, you may forget the exact scripture I gave you. You may forget the exact way I say it. And I'm you know, so many people, I'm watching people today. They are so articulate. Boy, we can, God said, articulate people today, boy. They can put it together. They got all the analogies, all the metaphors. I mean, say it just right. And at the end of the day, folks ain't gonna remember that. Paul said, I want your faith to not stand in how I said it. I want your faith to stand in the power of God. I want you to have an encounter with the Spirit of God. Not with Herbert Bailey, with the Spirit of God. Something that makes a mark on your life, on your heart, on your mind, that changes your family, glory to God. Come on now, it's high time that we keep influencing the world and not become subdued. And the church today is starting to become subdued. We so scared of what the world gonna think. There was a time that Pentecostalism, I'm talking about the whole Pentecostal experience of speaking in tongues and prophesying and all that, was limited in small churches with a small few. That ain't the case anymore now. More folks exposed to that than ever. Okay? There's some of us who paid a price for speaking in tongues. Oh, Lord, you're one of those tongue talkers. Now folks are never... Okay? But used to scare people. But people now even becoming more exposed to that, and yet at the same time, people become more exposed to it. You got people saying, don't do it. Or don't let anybody know about it. Or it's a personal thing that now people may, even preachers, they may speak in tongues and have a personal experience with God, but they ain't telling you how to get them. There's no opportunities for that. If it happens, it happens. That is not how the scripture was. When Paul came around folks who were serving God, they was having service, but he said there ain't no power up in here. So, Paul said, I need to ask you a question. Have you received since you believe? I know you believe, but have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, the Holy what? Holy Ghost? He said, the Holy Ghost. They said, oh, we didn't even hear anything about the Holy Ghost. So, Paul had to change that. And he began to preach to them Jesus and about the baptism of the Holy Ghost so folks can receive the Holy Ghost. Folks can receive what they don't know. If we don't teach you about the power of prayer, you won't pray. If we don't teach you about the power of the word, you won't be into the word. So my point is that as I'm continuing this series, that God wants us to be people of influence, to being a person of influence. And influence is the ability to affect others without force or pressure. Quickly reviewing, Jesus was a person of influence, right? Luke 2:52. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. They were concerned about his influence. They started saying the world is going after him because he was influencing the world. And we spent some great time last week talking about Matthew 5:13-16. It said we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're supposed to be affecting the world, not the world affecting us. Now, I'm not talking about not moving along with fashions and those kind of things, you know. I mean, if all women in here walked in here with petticoats and bonnets on, you're going to look kind of strange, okay? If all the brothers come in here wearing maxi coats, you're going to look a little strange. The reason why I said, some of y'all don't know what a maxi coat is, watch on Easter. There's always folks who show up on Easter with maxi coats. Any of y'all remember? Come on, any brother, any of y'all remember the mask? See, y'all have no clue what I'm talking about. Used to be these suits, okay? It was a man's suit, and it had pants, and then the jacket came all the way down here. It was like a coat. Every now and then, you still see, like, man, he got stuck in the 70s. And by the way, brother, let me help you all with something else I found. I never saw this up north. I don't mean no harm. But I came down south. I saw the brothers were keeping a tag on them. Yeah, and I would see him, and I would say, you know, you're supposed to take, oh, no, 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 you're supposed to keep that on. No, brother, that says 100% polyester. You ain't supposed to keep that on. You're not supposed to be advertising that. That's just to give you some information while you're trying to get it off the rack, what it's made out of that. You don't want to keep that. You ain't supposed to be advertising that. Man, it's 100% polyester. Poly and ester. So fashion trends are going to change. We understand that. But listen, who we are before God and have the power of God and the word doesn't change, y'all. So we're supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light. Huh? So Bishop Jay teaches something this week. He blessed me so much. I said, it was going right along with what I was saying. He talked last Sunday. He was talking about being the light of the world. All right? Okay, turn these half lights down. Turn these down. Yeah, bring them all the way down. Okay. So now it's dark in here. Okay. If you look on it, you really can't see my features. Okay. But now, when bring the house lights up, bring them back up. Now, when the light comes up, you don't have to tell darkness to go. When light comes, darkness got to go. We don't have to, you don't have to bind the darkness. You don't have to loose the darkness. You don't have to rebuke the darkness. All you got to do is light shows up. There really is no such thing as dark. It's just the absence of light. Come on, you're hearing me here. And so a lot of places that we see, man, the world is so dark. That's because light's not showing up. Ye are the light of the world. You are a city set upon a hill. You are the salt of the earth. Pastor Marshall read the scripture the other night. Was that Isaiah? Is it Isaiah 60? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then it goes on to say, I believe in Isaiah 62, he said, gross darkness is going to cover the earth. Darkness is going to cover the people, but the light of God is going to be on you. So if we are really people of light, we automatically dispel darkness. And God's calling us to be people of light. I even showed you last week that God's warning to the children of Israel regarding marriage, well, had nothing to do with race. We saw from Deuteronomy 7, 3, and 4, he said, don't give your sons to them and don't take their daughters unto you. Verse 4 says, because they're going to turn away your son from following me and they'll serve other gods. He said, the problem is, I don't want you marrying somebody who negatively influences you and pulls you away from me. That's still the case, y'all. Paul warned the church. He says, there's certain things, Ephesians 5 and 3. He says, I know all this stuff going on in the world. Watch this. I know everybody sleeping with everybody. I know folks ain't waiting until they're married to have sex. I know folks aren't being faithful to their husband or wife in the world. You think I'm ignorant? You think we understand that this is what's going on? I know everybody else is shacking up. I know that's what people do now. He said, we're not ignorant what's going on in the world. He said, but verse 3, he said, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named where? Among you. That's the church. He said, I know all this stuff going on out there, but it's supposed to be different in here. See, the problem is not that it's out there. The problem is when out there gets in here and we can't see the difference between out there and in here. Look to your neighbor and say, we got a problem. We got a problem. That's the problem. My daughter-in-law was telling me yesterday, a particular church that has a lot of young people, a lot of millennials. I understand, I ain't been to church, but say mainly millennials in the church. He said that another professional said to her, I was going there, but I can't be going there because they keep talking about this fornication. They just too caught up in saying you ain't supposed to be sleeping until you get married. Well, you think you got a whole bunch of millennials who ain't married? You might need to tell them. Come on now. If I got a lot of married folks who are going through struggles in the marriage, I'm going to have to preach about marriage stuff, right? And so the word is for every situation. And Paul said, I know that stuff going on, but it's supposed to be different among us. Romans 12 and 2, don't be conformed to this world. And let me read that again from the Amplified, and then I'll move on. He said, Romans 12 and 2, do not be conformed. Let me see, wait. Oh, no. I want to read it from the Message translation. Romans 12 and 2, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Now, I could really go deep in detail about this, but if I go deep in detail, everybody's going to think I'm being judgmental and being and all that kind of stuff. But I just want you to think about that. What do you just regularly just go on without even thinking? Should I do that as a Christian? The Lord challenged me this week. I was praying about something. I was asking about something, about the will of God. And the Lord said to me, just because you can do it don't mean you should do it. Just because you can do it don't mean you should do it. Do you ever think like that? Or are we constantly defending our right to be carnal? Are we constantly defending our right to be just like the world? This don't mean I ain't saved. I remember I was talking to an elder one time. It wasn't in our church. But I was talking to an elder one time, and I was trying to talk to him about something. And he kept saying, this don't mean I ain't saved. And I said, it's not about you. This don't mean I'm not saved. It don't mean I'm not saved. And the person basically had backslid and fell in some old lifestyle things that, you know. This doesn't mean you're not saved. And so people, well, I'm still saved. Ain't nobody saying you're going to hell. Has nothing to do with your salvation, but it definitely got something to do with your presentation. If I came up here this morning wearing a dress, okay, and I said, y'all, don't be judging me. That just don't mean nothing. I'm as man as I ever was. And I had a dress on and some high heels. And said, this is my thing now. This don't mean I ain't going to heaven. I'm still saved. I'm going to look crazy after a while, aren't I? This has nothing to do with my salvation, but it's sure affecting my presentation, isn't it? Come on now. It definitely would have affected my presentation. Even if I was preaching the same thing that I'm saying right now in the same way, you couldn't hardly hear nothing I'm saying. Saying, Pastor Lawson. Oh, Jesus. I could be reading the scripture. You're the light of the world. You're like, this man has lost his. You couldn't hear nothing that I'm saying for how I'm looking. So don't tell me how you look don't matter. It affects your presentation. Particularly when you're supposed to be presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sisters, you're going to witness somebody. And you got your dress down to here. Got all the front open with a tattoo right here and a tattoo right here. And you lean on and say, do you know Jesus? He died on the cross for your sin. And he sure did, didn't he? Yeah. You could be presenting the gospel. Don't tell me it don't affect nothing. And don't mean you're going to hell. But it affects your presentation. And what I'm trying to get us to understand is that Christian, we got to be thinking about our presentation. Because the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Representing in Christ's stead. Telling men and women to be reconciled to God.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Being a Person of Influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.